Blog Talk Radio.
I love that accent. Good Monday morning to you listeners, and thank you so much for being with me again here today. I am Sue Hirsch, your Joyful Wellness Guru. That's what the show is called. It's called The Joyful Wellness Guru. And today, when she calls in, I have a special treat for you. Her name is Haley. She is an editor at the Lexicon of Sustainability. Excuse me. The Lexicon of Sustainability, which is a nonprofit based out of Petaluma, here at home in Petaluma, and they focus on broadening eco-literacy and the conversation of sustainable food systems. And she should be here with us in no time at all. And let me tell you what I got on my plate, or what I've had on my plate for a little while, and that is I was changing my son to a different school. I was transitioning him to a school called the Pivot School, and I want to let you know it's out there, and I'll tell you a little more about it later because I see now that Haley is on with us. If you have questions about the Pivot School, it's all about blended learning. Ask me about it a little later. Haley, thank you so, so much, Haley, for being on with us this morning. It's great to have you.
Yes.
I really appreciate
thank you so much for inviting me.
Can you please explain to us, some of us don't have a really clear idea yet of what sustainability is. What does it mean?
Well, that is the point of the project that I'm part of. Sustainability is really a conversation about how to create a food system, but not only a food system, a world that we can look forward to maintaining and nourishing and holding a symbiotic relationship with in a way that is a mutual exchange and not just an extractive type. And so we have started our Lexicon of Sustainability, which is being transformed into a Lexicon of Food, because we find that food is this common element that comes up in the sustainability conversation. And so that's where we're at right now.
So you said earlier that you are working on a project, or you have one going, or there's going to be an event soon based around this idea of sustainability. Can you tell us
yes.
what that event
yes,
is?
Yes, exactly. So it really started with why is our food system seen to be so extractive and causing so many issues environmentally as well as within our community health-wise? And why is it impacting our small mom-and-pop shops? Why does it seem to be really diminishing the diversity? So we started a project, well, I didn't, but our director did 5 years ago, contacting and reaching out to people who seem to be leading by example, leading with this mentality of working towards maintaining a sustainable food system. Mm-hmm. And so he went across the country and was led into the homes and lives and working environments of all sorts of really innovative thinkers to, you know, explore what their solutions are to some of these contemporary issues that we've had in our food system. So things that have been developed, you know, over the past 100 years, this is not an issue that's just popped up. It's been, you know, it's been a slowly, progressively transformative issue. So he went across the country and interviewed all these people to really understand what it means to maintain a holistic and sustainable food solution. And as he interviewed Douglas, his name is Douglas Gayton, and as he interviewed these provocative thinkers, he asked them, you know, if we were to try to maintain a real conversation around sustainability, because sustainability seems to be just such a misunderstood word, or a word that, like you said, is very often hard to really define and locate. What kind of words would you contribute to this conversation to help people better understand this? And it was all with a mentality of, you know, we want to move forward, we want to be forward thinking, we really want to have solutions-based ideas on the table. And he created what became known as our Lexicon of Food, because we were talking, like I said, most exclusively with people who were in one way or another integrated in the food system, whether they were producers or distributors or, you know, advocates and educators. And so over the course of 5 years, he helped with these thought leaders, as we like to call them, create this lexicon of food to better understand the conversation of a sustainable food system, thinking that food is this binding element. And so if we can have a conversation about what builds a sustainable food system, then this will help move forward in helping broaden people's eco-literacy to understanding maybe how to have a conversation around sustainability as a whole. Conversations about sustainability when you talk about water, when you talk about energy, when you talk about textile production, you know, and resource management, for example. So that's what we've come to, and the project has now evolved to the point where we have this excellent collection of terms in our lexicon of food, and it was first shared through information artwork that we have curated by over 200 people across the country, our great curators that are putting on shows at, you know, educational benefits, at, you know, agricultural fairs, some private functions, some public functions, and it's been a really great, we've had really great responses to that, and since then, we have been working on a great platform resource, a great informational resource, which will be launched this Wednesday publicly, and we're very excited about it, called the Lexicon of Food, and this is an area where people can contribute terms, contribute definitions to this concept of sustainability, this lexicon of food and all terms that have been, you know, popping up in this conversation of solutions-oriented forward-moving thinking. And it's a place for people to exchange resources and exchange ideas and, you know, learn about maybe initiatives that are happening in their backyard that they haven't even had an opportunity to become aware of. But it's a great place to really explore all of these ideas and all these solutions when it comes to the conversation of sustainability and food. So
okay.
that's essentially the product of this project that's been happening for the last 5 years.
Right. Okay, so when is that next event happening and where physically is it happening?
Oh, I'm sorry. You must have misunderstood me. And in terms of event, are you talking about an artwork pop-up event? Because the Lexicon of Food is actually a web-based platform.
I see. But you
yeah,
said
sorry about
fairs.
That. I didn't mean to confuse you.
You said something about fairs and
oh, sure.
Functions.
Yep, sorry. Pardon me. I guess I'm going a million miles a minute. I drank too much coffee this morning.
Yeah, you're talking kind of fast.
Hey, let me slow down for you.
That's
so
okay.
The original distribution of our information is through what we call pop-up shows. And it's a set of 12 infographics that Douglas and our team has helped created with these terms and these collages. They basically, his idea is to take a really massive story of a solution that an innovative thinker has been applying in the food system and then to consolidate it into this beautiful collage with really informative text involved in it and putting this idea into a frame, which is really hard to do, but he's managed to accomplish it. He's managed to be able to create this very massive scene and put it into you know, a frame, literally. And so we have these and we've distributed them to our curators. And like I said, they're across the country. You can check out our mother site. It's lexiconofsustainability.com. And there's a whole list of events where our artwork is being curated. I know that not this year, but last year we had, for example, in terms of locally, we had our pop-up show at the Heirloom Festival in Santa Rosa. This year we've just been so busy with preparing for the launch of our site that we couldn't get the manpower over there to set up the pop-up at the Heirloom this year. But if you want to take a look at our website, lexiconofsustainability.com, and you check out our pop-up shows, you'll see a full list of pop-up shows that are anticipated to be featured across the country. At the moment, I'm sorry, I don't have a computer in front of me to check that out for you. But
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. But people can go to your site and find that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's happening all across the country. And sometimes these installations, for example, the way that I learned about the lexicon I was working as an intern in D.C. 4 or 5 years ago. And I guess, no, pardon me, it's 4 years ago. It was 2011. And I was walking through a metro, and they had their pop-up show installed and featured at the at one of my metro stops. And I had been there for a couple of weeks. And I finally decided to stop my morning routine and actually check out what this cool artwork was, and ended up following them on Facebook, and then, you know, serendipitously found myself in Petaluma and got connected with them, you know, purely by chance, which was great. But it was all because of this pop-up show, all because this artwork was featured in my metro stop and had just been there for long enough that I decided, you know, I'm going to stop and take a look, you know, on my daily commute. So sometimes they're just for, you know, an evening event, and sometimes they're installed, you know, for up to a week or a month. I'm from Belfast, Maine, and our co-op in Belfast curated the information artwork at our co-op for, I believe it was a month, and totally unrelated to me, we had a curator in my hometown that I don't even know who had it featured in an exhibit at our local co-op. So the amount of time that a pop-up show may exist in a given space can be anywhere, like I said, from an evening event to, you know, a small installation for a given period of time. So it's pretty cool. And the idea of this pop-up show is to, you know, help people, you know, broaden their eco-literacy, because if you can visualize, we have a collage. Let's say one of my favorite ones is with Elaine Ingram. She's a soil scientist, really smart individual, and she had defined this very fundamental term called the soil web, the soil food system. And essentially it's discusses the intricacy of the ecosystem within our soil that we so often overlook, but it's a great collage that shows Elaine holding the soil and then this drawing around it showing the whole cycle, the whole web of life that's integrated within the soil. And then around that is a text describing specifically these interactions of these microbial life within the soil. And a piece like that helps stop you, gives you a definition to a term, kind of gets you thinking about how it applies to your life, how you can, you know, and this is a great introduction into a concept, and our hopes are that if you are, you know, in a vicinity where there's a pop-up show and you're, you know, your eye is drawn to one, two, maybe all of these pieces, the idea is that we're helping you broaden your eco-literacy, and in doing so, hopefully helping you to relight this fire in holding a conversation around sustainable food systems. Or maybe the conversation won't come up simply like that. Maybe you'll just be talking about, you know, your latest crop, if you're a farmer, and then your buddy will tell you, well, you know, I just came across this great, all this great information about a soil web food system in at this art installation that I saw at our local market. You might want to look into the microbial life of your soil. And so this is helping conversations of sustainability without necessarily even having to bring into the context the word sustainability. But it's helping to, you know, move the conversation in that direction, and helping people to just kind of understand some fundamental ideas that fall within that umbrella.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of sustainability, I think of things like crop rotation and the method of farming that is sustainable in its nature or by its very nature, because we do it in a way that's healthy and respectful to the earth. And in that way, our crops will be much more wholesome for us to eat. And then we can continue the cycle of planting because we're healthy.
Absolutely. And the conversation of food and sustainability is very much applicable to the production of food, where we want to make sure that we are giving the system enough so that it produces something that's abundant in its, you know, its vitality and its nutrition in return, that we're not just producing for the purpose of mass producing and really getting those numbers out, but for the purpose of really getting what we need out of it and also giving what the system needs in return. You know, it's like I said in the, when I first started talking about it, it's all about this kind of symbiotic relationship. You know, we don't, we've come to have this relationship with food. I'm sure you're well aware as well as Guru. It's a commodity right now, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But,
absolutely.
And with the way we look at food, the way we've kind of been trained to look at food these days is to look at it for its caloric value.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're now realizing again that it's not necessarily just a caloric value given all sorts, all of these, you know, digestive problems and allergies and what have you that are seeming to become more prevalent in our society, which may very well have a correlation with contemporary conventional food production. That's something that's still being researched, but they are finding that, you know, food that is nutritionally abundant and is, you know, a whole food is much more beneficial not only to our own health, but also to the health of the environment from which we produce it from.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
The conversation of sustainability isn't exclusive to the production of food. It's also a conversation of how we distribute the food. You know, we sometimes are forcing our farmers to find these outlets to distribute their food that, you know, really don't give them the financial security that they need, however they feel trapped. And there's a lot of sustainable solutions to that now. We have more so there are channels that are opening up. You know, community-supported agriculture is a great example. There's also concepts such as collaborative distribution, where people will take on the task of opening up a warehouse, if you will, where farmers can come and bring their produce, and then these warehouses will find local outlets for them, rather than having to pursue the big guy who is, you know, carting their produce halfway across the country for a pretty low cost, but, you know, it's a guaranteed outlet. There are now, you know, more sustainable outlets popping up left and right, which is great because it's a job generator for these local communities. And it's giving these farmers peace of mind that they still have local outlets. And then there's a conversation of how food is being served to us. We have this massive issue of food waste, which is 100% unsustainable. You know, why are we putting all of our time, sweat, and resources into producing food when at the end of the day, 40% of the food that that's being produced, whether on the farm, within distribution, at retail, or at the table, is being wasted. You know, it's a crazy reality. So the conversation of sustainable food systems, it really applies all across the board. And so that's why with our lexicon of food, we have not only reached out to these provocative food producers, but also to innovative thinkers who are part of the distribution channel, part of the retail, part of the service, and part of the advocacy of it. It's a really complex conversation, and I come from a background in nutrition and had no idea how complex our food system seriously was. And I studied it, you know, for 6 years and still am getting a grasp on how complicated it is. And, you know, you got to sometimes just pick an area and dive into it, and then you'll find how intimately connected every facet of the food system is with one another when it's totally unexpectedly. I mean, you might get into food packaging and not even consider, you know, you might get into sustainable food packaging and not even realize, you know, the implications that has in our soil quality. But it has implications in our soil quality, because if you find that you don't have sustainable food packaging, which is a huge issue right now, all the plastic finds itself in the food waste, in our water table, in our local environment, which has a massive impact on our soil quality. So it's a really, really intimate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And food that we raise in this sustainable way and in a respectful way is going to be, in the end, much better for us, as you said, but it can also have medicinal value, and people, I think, don't realize this. And so I want to turn them on to another website as well. It's called Food Matters. And I just saw it this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just came across it this morning on Facebook. Have you heard about it?
Oh, yeah, I love those. Yeah, it's a couple out of Australia, right? I believe.
I don't know because I only just briefly noticed a post this morning by Food Matters.
You know, they're...
They talk about, they're talking about how regular foods are good for you in different ways, what they can do for you. And this is kind of a funny one that I came across this morning, how to unclog your pipes, and they're talking about your innards, your internal pipes in your body when you're a little bit constipated. And I kind of giggled, and I thought, yeah, my grandma used to eat prunes for that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, first of all, Food Matters, they're an amazing resource. And one of the reasons why I actually, you know, I was trained clinically in nutrition, but why I decided to turn towards our food system and to get more, you know, connected with our food system, they're a phenomenal resource and really introduces a really great way to look at your food as medicine and not just as, you know, your daily caloric intake and as your sole provider of energy. They've got, you know, resources for all sorts of ailments, all sorts of ways that you can integrate particular types of food stuff into your diet. They're phenomenal. I really appreciate what they're offering. And the idea of food as medicine is an awesome concept that I feel like is kind of, you know, coming back to life. People are realizing that, conventional Western medicine has a huge amount of benefits, and they provide immeasurable opportunities of, you know, having your loved ones treated for things that, you know, 100, 150 years ago would not have been, we wouldn't have been as lucky to have. However, food, looking at food as medicine helps you create this barrier of preventative health, whereas a lot of times our contemporary medicine is geared much more towards curative efforts. And so people are kind of thinking more along the lines, okay, we're creating these relationships with food that are instigating health problems. You know, we've got issues with, you know, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, hypertension are all largely related to our lifestyle. And now we have nutritionists. Well, we've always had nutritionists, but nutritionists are here and doctors are here to, life coaches are here to help people integrate preventative measures in their daily routine to help them maintain a quality of life that, you know, they're comfortable with and happy with. And this concept of food as medicine is you know, jumping back on the board, and I'm really thrilled about it. And, you know, we at Lexicon of Food write a weekly editorial, and that's what I'm responsible for. I'm the editor of this weekly talking points called The Food List. And last series, we finished our first series in June, and it was really just talking about the outlining the foundations of our food system. It was really a producer focused, but I'm about to launch our second series of Food List, which is going to be launched in collaboration with the release of our platform, our information platform, Lexicon of Food. And this series, this 52-week series of Food List, is focusing much more on our, as a consumer, our intimate relationship with our food. And food as medicine is popping up almost every week because it's just amazing. No matter what aspect you look at your food, it plays a huge role in, you know, what your health will be like maybe, you know, tomorrow, maybe a week from now, maybe, you know, 20 years down the road. For example, our first week is a discussion of the microbiome, which is something that we don't really think about too much. But what's crazy is that 9 out of 10 cells in our body are not our own. They belong solely to, you know, all of the microbiotic life that's living within us. And then this is so intimately, the health of this microbiotic life is not only so intimately connected to our own health, but also to the health of our environment and the health and quality of the food that we're putting into our system. So if you look,
really,
so in that sense, you can look at your food as medicine, because not only is it nourishing yourself, but it's also nourishing all the life that's within you and helping helping that food system. I mean, helping your bodily functions, all the different systems in your body maintain themselves. And it's really
Absolutely.
An awesome conversation to be had.
Absolutely, it is. It is. It's
yeah.
a huge conversation, and there's so much more to it. And I got to interrupt it right now. I'm so sorry, Haley. We only have about 4 minutes left, and in this last 4 minutes, I'd really like you, if you had an offer to make to our guests, you can do it now or just give out your contact information again. That would be great. Right now is a good
sure.
time.
Yeah, sure. Well, I would love to welcome all of our listeners to check out our platform. It's going to be released on September 16th, and it's an informational platform, Lexicon of Food, and you're going to find all sorts of incredible information, whether you are a mother that's looking for ways to integrate more vitamins into your child's lunch, school lunches, to a farmer who's looking how to help rebuild soil in your backyard, to an advocate that wants to learn how to help fight for farm workers' rights and their involvement in our food system. You're going to find all sorts of invaluable information and connections with really incredible thought leaders and people who are part of your community on this site. So we're really thrilled to share this with the community, and we really hope that everyone has an opportunity to check it out. Because it's really something that, you know, will be a great resource. If you're looking for that information, you're going to find it there. And you can contact me at Haley, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, at lexiconoffood.com. And I'm based out of Petaluma and loving Sonoma County and loving our community out here, and would love to connect and reach out to anyone who is interested in talking with the Lexicon. And thank
Absolutely.
You so much for inviting me onto your talk, Sue. It was a pleasure, and I hope that we have another opportunity to talk soon, because I feel like we have so many things to touch on, and we just tried to fit it into, you know, 30 minutes.
The tip of the iceberg. To let her go, folks. I'm so sorry that I had to cut her off so quickly. Thank you again, Haley, for being with us today. I really appreciate that if you're still out there listening. If you're not, I will send you a major thank you email. And you can get in contact with her. She had a wonderful offer for you and a wonderful way of getting hold of her. And it's a huge, huge concept again. And, yes, she touched on something great. I also preach food as medicine, as a life coach and a wellness coach and a health coach. Food can be medicinal and enjoyable if we treat it correctly, if we raise it and treat it correctly and eat it correctly and respectfully. Otherwise, it is garbage in, garbage out. So take good care of your food, because in doing so, you'll be taking good care of yourself. And everybody have a wonderful rest of your week. Please be here again with me on Friday. And remember to look up the Pivot School, because I am really thrilled now to have just gotten my son enrolled there. It's about blended learning, so it's good for your kids if they are self-starters, self-motivators, and independent workers. Keep that in mind. Not everything works for everyone. It's different strokes for different folks always. And nutrition that's good for you may not be good for your neighbor sitting next to you, may not be good for your mom or dad. Nutrition is different for everyone. Different strokes for different folks. We're all built a little differently on the inside. We all need some different things. Maybe I need a little extra spinach and my dad needs a little extra rice. It's all different. Very individualized. So be good to yourselves, be good to your food, be good to yourselves, and be good to each other, and I will catch you again on Friday. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week.